and welcome to this first edition of the EdTech Podcast. With 1 billion active podcast subscribers globally and 11% of people in the UK listening to a podcast every week, I thought it was high time we had a UK-based global podcast on EdTech, so I've set one up. My name's Sophie and I'm the former head of content for BET, the world's largest dedicated education technology event. Every other week I'll be bringing you the personalities and trends involved in education technology, focusing on topical insights, documentary-style interviews and industry news. The EdTech podcast will be uploaded on Sunday evening, ready for your Monday morning commute. Whether to a school, university, government, industry or investment office, or a shared workspace, and each episode comes with a downloadable PDF with a summary of the main focus points, quotes and additional reading material. I hope you like it. Feel free to tell your friends and keep listening to hear more about our upcoming launch party. But before I let you know about this week's episode, don't forget to subscribe to the EdTech podcast on iTunes and follow us on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram for all the extras, including infographics, links and community discussion. And for all contacts, including requests to feature on the podcast, please email theedtechpodcast@gmail.com. Yay! EdTech Podcast, the Hackney Edition. This first edition of the EdTech Podcast focuses on the East London Borough of Hackney. Why? Because I'm exceptionally lazy and live in Hackney, but more importantly, because Hackney represents one of the most interesting educational turnaround stories in the UK. Finally, Hackney has come to personify the tech hub of London in a global digital landscape. To what extent are these tech investment initiatives providing opportunities for students and educators? In this episode, I interview the principal of Hackney Community College, Ian Ashman, to find out more. Before we get started, a short 3-minute intro on Hackney. Hackney is a small borough of East London, home to only 246,000, but carrying one of the highest population densities in the capital. By 2020, Hackney will need an extra set of places equivalent to 3 new primary schools and 2 new secondary schools to cope with demand. Within the borough sits 27,000 pupils in over 70 schools, nurseries and play centres. The borough recognised 88 spoken languages in the 2011 census, and just over a third of respondents to the same census described themselves as white British, with vibrant African, Caribbean, Turkish, Vietnamese and Australian communities in the mix, alongside those religious communities recognised as Jewish, Muslim or Christian. Put some context on the educational turnaround. In 1999, when an audit commission report found that Hackney had presided over the largest fall in GCSE results in the country, the Labour government intervened, putting Hackney's local education authorities into special measures and taking direct control of education services away from the council. Thus was born the Humble Academy, as David Blunkett's intervention led to the creation of the Learning Trust, a bespoke not-for-profit company set up to take on the functions of Hackney's failing LEA and report directly to the Secretary of State for Education. Out of this system came the off-lauded Mosbourne Academy, led by now head of Ofsted Sir Michael Wilshaw, considered to be one of the best schools in the country. And whereas in 2002, Hackney's Key Stage 2 results were the worst in the country, and less than a third of students were achieving 5 or more GCSEs at grades A star to C, in 2014 that figure was above the national average at 61%, with some schools achieving as high as 91%. That is to say that, well documented for being deprived, things in Hackney are changing. In the 2010 Index of Multiple Deprivation, Hackney ranked second in the country. In 2015, Hackney had dropped down to 11th, indicating that Hackney is becoming less deprived relative to the other local authority areas in England. In addition, Hackney has experienced rapid economic growth over the last 15 years. In 2012, London Borough of Hackney hosted 13,000 firms, a 40% increase from 2004. More crucially, Hackney is well represented in London's current growth industries. Companies and key knowledge industries comprise 55% of Hackney's economy. That's 7,840 firms, or 3% more than in the rest of London. When we think about tech initiatives who have chosen Hackney as their home, the case studies are multiple. We have Here East, the former press and broadcast centre on the Queen Elizabeth Olympic Park, offering 1.2 million square foot of commercial space for London's creative and digital industries. There's Tech City, based in Shoreditch, London-based tech companies raised $1.6 billion in the first 9 months of 2015, with 4,808 of those companies based at the Shoreditch Silicon Roundabout. Then there's Emerge Education, Hackney-based edtech startup accelerator and part of the estimated $45 billion global valued edtech industry. Yet, over a quarter of Hackney's working age residents are economically inactive. So, what is really going on? Is Hackney or Broadway market middle classes skewing the numbers? Or is there real opportunity and synergy between educators, students and tech initiatives in the borough, building on the successes of the past 17 years? The EdTech podcast finds out. Okay, well, we're here today with Ian Ashman from Hackney Community College. Welcome, Ian.
Okay.
So today what I was hoping to talk about was how Hackney Community College is collaborating with some of the tech initiatives in the borough and how you think the full extent of EdTech and the benefits that it can have both for educators and students can properly be tapped into. So just to kick off, I wondered if you could perhaps give me a bit of an overview about your role here. My understanding is you've been here since 2007.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, that's good. Done my homework.
So, I'm Ian Ashman. I'm principal and chief executive of the college. As you say, I've been leading the college since 2007 as principal. I was also here for 10 years during the 1990s, and I've been living in Hackney for about 30 years. So I've seen the transformation of the borough and certainly of this local area. In terms of involvement with the tech sector, I think that's twofold, really. One is as a provider of courses, meeting the needs of the tech industry and other relationships which we have with tech companies. And then secondly, as a manager of an education provision that is seeking to make the best use of technology to support student success. So just to focus on the first area and our involvement in the tech community, we were actually one of the pioneers in collaborating with technology companies in the area. In fact, in the late 1990s, we worked with what was then London Guildhall University to secure some European funding to build an incubator centre for what were then called telematics businesses, I think.
Yes.
And so in the year 2000, we opened with the university a centre for small businesses, probably the first managed workspace specifically focused on tech businesses in the area. So we like to claim concrete credit for
MacBooks.
Yeah, all of that. So we've been here very early on, and obviously we were also here as a major investor in Hoxton at the time when it was pretty shabby, actually. So we've seen the area transformed, but particularly since I came back into the borough in 2007, we've noticed this massive growth in tech companies, both big and small. And we've obviously heard from companies about the challenges that they have in growing, particularly as a result of the skill shortages they face.
Yeah.
And at the same time, what we've seen is very little direct opportunity for local people, including our students, to benefit from this massive growth in jobs and opportunities. And it's really startling when you walk out of a campus where 70% of your students are from black and minority ethnic backgrounds into workplaces over the road that are 90% or in some cases 100% white. I mean, the ethnicity is not the only diversity industry issue. We know that women are underrepresented too. But it's very stark. And what's interesting, I think, is to contrast that shortage of skills with an absence amongst many tech companies in direct opportunities to train and develop skills. Generally speaking, tech companies are looking to import fully formed labour. And when I say import, sometimes that's from the rest of the country, sometimes that is from the rest of the world. And when you talk to tech companies, very often their response to skill shortages is about more visas for people rather than thinking in the longer term about how they invest in developing skills. So about 4 years ago, we put these things together and worked with a local regeneration agency to do a specific piece of research on why was it that you had this dichotomy of skill shortages alongside big unemployment, and whether there was a way of bringing those two things together. And what we found were a number of things from the research. One was there were skills shortages. The second was that we bore a responsibility because the courses that we were running weren't really meeting the skills needs of local employers. And the third was that the pipeline, the way in which the recruitment process works, really didn't engage with local people. So to say a little bit more about the last one, certainly 4 years ago, the majority of recruitment was through internships, very often unpaid, usually found by somebody you know or somebody who knows you through family and friends. And it really didn't engage with any formal processes which would hook up with local young people.
And I would imagine that limits the type of person that can take up that opportunity.
It absolutely does, yes. If you know, many young people can't afford not to be paid for 6 months. The second thing we did was to look at training and to think about whether there was an alternative route to develop skills from the traditional degree route. And what we identified was the potential to create a specific apprenticeship programme using some of the newer frameworks around. And what we did was work with a group of employers who were recognising that they were missing out on a wider talent pool. And we developed a programme which we branded as Tech City Apprenticeships, which has used a couple of quite well-developed frameworks, one in creative and digital media and one in IT support, to create a specialist apprenticeship framework. And we've done that both at level 3A level equivalent and at level 4, first year of university equivalent. It's been slow to get going, I have to say, slower than I would have hoped. We started about 2.5 years ago with the first framework with half a dozen companies starting at higher level. We've been running at level 3 and 4, and we've got about 50 tech apprenticeships on the go at the moment, including a positive recent development in half a dozen apprenticeships with BT Sport TV in the Olympic Park.
Yeah, and I saw that you also supply apprentices for a second home in Tower Hamlets, is that right?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. So Rohan Silver, who was one time the Prime Minister's advisor on technology, came across us when he was doing that role and was very much switched on to the idea of recruiting local people, getting local talent into the workforce.
And given your news, I think it was this morning, about the merger.
Yes.
So will that then feed students in potentially from the Tower Hamlets area as well?
Yes, so we're working, like a number of colleges are, to create a more financially sustainable college through a merger. It's very much a merger of equals, and it's based on building on the respective strengths and specialisms of the two institutions. We have a lot in common and we offer a lot of courses that are the same, but we have a particular specialism in digital technology. And as the tech sector marches east from Tech City into Tower Hamlets and across into the Olympic Park, we're aiming to work together. And they have, for example, a specialism in financial services and work with a number of financial services companies who are obviously big consumers of tech. And we're aiming at a bit of cross-selling with getting our digital apprenticeships into some of their financial services companies and vice versa.
And since your shift in the courses that you've run to sort of reflect the greater need for tech and digital skills,
yes,
have you found a sort of mirrored increase in the amount of students that take those courses up? Is that now a larger part of your offering?
Yes, it certainly is. And beyond the apprenticeships, we've also been changing the content and indeed some of the courses which we offer on the full-time programme, so particularly at level 3, and where we offer computing courses and digital media programmes. We've been gradually increasing the content and relevance of the content to local Tech City companies, for example, on the computing side, much more focus on applications development and programming. Within digital media, we've moved away from traditional arts into digitally based art, so animation, sound production and so on.
Interesting, and it's sort of along the same lines of companies like General Assembly and FutureLearn and people who are also looking to increase the sort of digital skills offering that's
Absolutely. We're obviously, you know, there's no such thing as a unique good idea, and what we've done is develop in parallel with a number of digital learning providers. In fact, you know, those are burgeoned to such an extent that the Centre for London developed their initiative, We Are .. to provide a platform to bring together digital learning providers with employers and to give a place where people could find out about the range of things that are available. Because there is now a fantastic range of programmes available, from kind of dipping your toe in the water and awareness raising about skills through to our own programmes. And, you know, at the kind of very expensive end, you've got people like Makers Academy running a fantastic program to create applications developers, but which you've got to pay $9,000 or $10,000 to do.
Quite the commitment then. So we talked about Tech City and the apprenticeship initiative there. In Hackney, we've also got Emerge Education within the Hackney Community College campus. And then a bit further east in terms of the Olympic Park here east. How are you working with organisations such as those to kind of make sure that the opportunities available for students and the skills that your students have go back to those organisations?
So just to talk about here east and the Olympic Park, first of all, we've seen the growth in tech outprowessing itself from the Shoreditch market, really, and more tech workspaces springing up. There's clearly an opportunity to use the major accommodation and facilities that's available in the Olympic Park.
It's quite huge, isn't it?
It's absolutely enormous. It's 1 million square feet here east, the former Press and Broadcast Centre. And that's the same amount of floor spaces as in the Canary Wharf Tower. So that gives you a sense of it. You know, you're talking potentially 3,000 jobs just in the buildings themselves, along with the jobs that, you know, sit outside and support here east. And they've described themselves as the centre for making, on the basis of the new generation of technology that's very, very much about the Internet of Things. We've been part of, or potentially part of, that development going back about 4 years, when they approached us to say, would we be interested in being one of a number of educational providers within the Here East Centre? And we felt it was sufficiently far away for it to require some separate education provision. So we're aiming to create about 5,000 square feet of space in a small apprenticeship training centre in the broadcast centre. It sits next to BBC Sport TV, and we're surrounded by Loughborough University and their postgraduate offer, quite a bit of which is in technology. And we see ourselves as being a part of the bigger educational and cultural development that's become known as Olympicopolis. So it's not only us and Loughborough, but there's a dance studio, there's space studios who are setting up artist studios. Further south in the Olympic Park, we've got the Smithsonian, UCL, Sadler's Wells and the V&A.
And how do you see yourself potentially working with those other tenants in the park? I mean, I'm going to have a conversation with the head of digital for Victoria and Albert Museum, and I'm really interested to know about how those really interesting organisations are going to collaborate with one another.
Well, certainly the immediate collaboration is going to be working with the tenants in Here East. So part of the agreement when you sign up as a tenant at Here East is you're making some commitment to local labour and local recruitment. That could be through an apprenticeship with Hackney Community College, it could be through other initiatives, but our role initially is as an apprentice provider. So the example of BT Sport TV, who we've already started work with, is a really good one. Half a dozen apprenticeships, level 3 A-level equivalent in creative and digital media, and those young people are getting a really good salary, they're having an absolutely fantastic time, and they are brilliant ambassadors. We've used them for some recent recruitment events. But given that there were 450 applicants for the 6 places, not surprising, they're of pretty good calibre. So that's our focus forwards, that we will be a major provider of digital apprenticeships on the Olympic Park site. And of course, we're not only going to be serving here east, but across the canal. A lot of development taking place around what were artist studios, old factories, warehouse units and things like that. So there's more and more digital on the park. Closer to home here at Shoreditch, we've been working particularly closely with a number of local tech businesses. We've had the opportunity to actually bring some of those tech businesses on site. So one of the downsides of being a college is that we've been on the receiving end of some quite significant cuts in our funding over the last few years, particularly for adult learners. That means we've reduced numbers, and it's meant we've had space available on the campus. And rather than sort of let it out to the highest bidder, what we've sought to do is to create spaces which tech businesses could rent. And we've tried to find companies that are interested in working with us in supporting students and apprentices. Not all of those are in the edtech business, but they're all in the tech space. And the commitment is that for every job on site, they provide us with a day a year of time. And that might be lecturing to students. It might be some mentoring a group of students who are thinking of setting up a tech business. It might be work experience. It could be an apprenticeship.
It's a really great idea. And I guess if you ever have an IT problem, can you...
There's plenty of people with skills around.
Yeah.
And we've seen the development of the ed tech sector, and we thought it might be, you know, a fairly neat, if obvious, idea to bring ed tech providers onto the campus with the idea that college students could help support and test some of the products. So some of those ed tech startups are working with college students to test their products or actually beta test some of the code. We've also got on the campus at the moment, we're providing a temporary home for a free school, so primary age children. And the aim is that some of those ed tech providers can test their products with that primary age on site.
Fantastic idea, because I mean, so often the idea is great in principle, but doesn't get to the reality of the situation sometimes, I think.
Yeah, it's early days, but we're really encouraged by the progress to date. And that opportunity to create a wider education community that involves tech companies working with college students, we think is really helpful. And, you know, we're genuinely interested in some of the products that people are developing. So
are there any particular products or areas that you think are more exciting than others?
Well, there's one particular one which we're having a conversation with at the moment. And this is a site that's going to specialise in short courses, more commercial courses for people who are interested just in education generally, not tech specifically. They could be short courses in tech or they could be anything. And we're trying to do more commercial work to supplement our income. So we already do some really diverse, very short courses, come in for a weekend and learn knife skills in the kitchen or Caribbean cookery, or we're doing another one in corsetry. So what we're trying to do is tap into a younger urban population that's got some money to invest in their education and actually enjoys doing education activity. And there's a site application developing specifically within the Emerge programme that has such a product. So that's an example where we can work with them and maybe, you know, eventually
so
we'll become
a college sort of vision and sustainable long-term goals, but also they get something out of it as well.
Yeah, that's right.
And how do you think within Hackney, I mean, this seems like quite a successful collaboration locally with tech companies and sort of utilising some of those skills internally as well. How do you think that's happening more broadly across the borough? Is that something that you know from sort of like-minded peers in schools that is happening, or, you know, is it kind of ad hoc at the moment?
I think it's quite ad hoc. It very much depends on individuals within schools and how they view educational development. But there's a good group of technology teachers getting good support from the Learning Trust within the borough. They've had a big focus around the new computing curriculum and trying to deliver that successfully. I think where they're perhaps less aware than they need to be is exactly what tech business is doing in the borough, and particularly how they get people into tech. So schools historically, not only in tech but other sectors, have tended to focus very strongly as they've improved their quality on getting people into university. And university's great for some students, although interestingly, computing graduates have the highest rate of unemployment of any. Something we're working on in another project.
It's quite traditional for your Bill Gates and your Steve Jobs to drop out of university.
It is quite traditional, and a number actually of our first batch of tech apprentices were students who'd done less than a term in a university, and it just wasn't right for them. So what we've been trying to do is raise the awareness of both careers and IT teachers of the apprenticeship route as an alternative, and we recently ran an event that had 100 careers advisors and IT teachers attend at the Olympic Park, specifically to talk about alternative routes into technology, education and training.
And how do you see, obviously, the mayoral elections coming up? Previously, Boris has been quite supportive of Tech City apprenticeship scheme.
Yeah.
Do you get a sense of what the support may look like in the future via each particular candidate, or is that something that you're worried about?
I wouldn't say I was worried about it. I mean, the fact that one of the first mayoral hustings had a focus on technology and the session happened at Here East, I think is an indicator that all the main candidates, we've obviously got two strong front runners who've both talked about the importance of supporting tech. And I was really pleased to see actually a positive message coming out of those candidates specifically about Hackney Community College's Tech City Apprenticeship Programme. So it was good to know that that was recognised. So I'm pretty confident that, you know, whether it's Zach Goldsmith or Sadiq Khan gets elected, that they A, recognise the importance of tech, and B, recognise the importance of initiatives to get more Londoners into tech jobs.
And if you enjoyed that, make sure you subscribe to the EdTech podcast on iTunes to hear subsequent Hackney Edition interviews with none other than the CEO of Here East, a variety of EdTech startups based in Hackney, Hackney Council's The Learning Trust e-learning department, a Hackney primary school teacher, and the head of digital at the Victorian Albert Museum. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.
Bye-bye.